If you're waiting for somebody to do something for you, you're going to keep waiting. It's not going to happen. You got to make it happen yourself.
Welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, the podcast that is dedicated to making clinical dentistry simple. Join us as we decode the complexities of dental care by providing actionable insights into the diverse aspects of clinical practice, the latest trends, and the newest technologies. Whether you're a seasoned clinician or just starting out of dental school, listen in on engaging discussions, expert interviews, and a wealth of tips and tricks to enhance your clinical workflows. So turn up that volume and get ready to transform your clinical practice with the Digital Smile Hub. And now, here's your host, Dr. Tim Anderson.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Clinical Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I am Dr. Tim Anderson, your host, and welcome back to week two. Last week, we dove into a ton of stuff featuring Dr. T-Bone, and this week, you know, I kind of had to take a step back. We were kind of jumping into everything that we kind of forgot to address some of the bigger pictures of, you know, everything of what this all encompasses. And, you know, like the title kind of talked about, this podcast is focused on elevating your dental practice. And really, we're going to, you know, decode the complexities within clinical dentistry and really highlight different guests and speakers every week so that way we can really truly unlock the potential within your own practice. And we can look at different trends, what's coming, and learn from other people's successes and failures each week. And being that this is a clinical-based podcast, when I start thinking about clinical dentistry, what I start really diving into is the fundamentals. And for me, the core of my practice is restorative dentistry. I would not be able to do any of the cool, fancy things I do, whether it's surgically or cosmetically, if I didn't have a good core foundation in basic restorative dentistry. And the big, you know, concepts that we start talking about later in our careers really all come back to these simple basic core principles. And it's important to understand that before we can do the big, complex, cool things that we all want to do, we really need to simplify and dive into those core foundations. And so the concept of tonight that I really wanted us to focus on was, how do we go from single tooth dentistry to full arch dentistry? And when I started really diving into, like, okay, what are we going to talk about? Who are we going to talk to? This became really simple to me because as a general practitioner, one of the people that I've admired most who's really kind of highlighted what is possible as a, you know, restorative dentist and focusing on just restorative dentistry and what's possible, one name came to mind. And this individual has created a culture within his practice and his partner's practice that truly defines what restorative dentistry means from the standpoint of not only core foundations of CE and basic restorative understanding of dentistry to cosmetics, to understanding what the psychology of what our patients are thinking, to how do we market to those people? How do we integrate our team? How do we make this profitable to our practice? They've done this so well that they've actually created their own educational platform called The Protocol. And what that protocol does is it lays out all of these core concepts. And, you know, for me, that was something that I had to know more about, which is why I was one of the first people that actually took that course. And it truly drove home the concepts that there's so much more within our own practice. And by maximizing our education, by maximizing our team, by maximizing technology, we all of a sudden unlock this potential of these truly remarkable things within our practice. So tonight, I'm so privileged and super excited for all of us to kind of pick the brain of the clinical master himself. A lot of you guys know him as one of the founders of the protocol. He's got an unbelievable practice in Jupiter, Florida, with Dr. Chris Ramsey and the none other than Rob Ritter himself. So, Dr. Ritter, welcome to the Clinical Dentistry Made Simple podcast. Yeah, super excited to have you here tonight.
I'm just as excited to be here with you, Tim. Congrats on all your success and what you're doing here on the pod and with 3D Dentists. I think it's awesome. And yes, you were, I think, in the inaugural first class of the protocol 3 years ago.
I was. It was one of those courses that the only way you knew about it was social media, which totally speaks to kind of your expertise, because I was just scrolling through my feed one day between patients and I saw this course. I'm like, huh, this thing like speaks to my heart of like everything I love in dentistry. And, you know, ironically, I don't know if I'd ever met you before at that point. I had heard Chris speak at DS World in the past. And I'm like, you know what? This is something I got to do. And literally just signed up. I had no idea what to expect. And I just show up in Florida and show up into your guys' office. And then, you know, was just blown away by everything you guys are doing over there.
You're really, really kind. It was a lot of fun. I remember going into that. We had some trepidation thinking, are we going to really be able to deliver what we want to deliver? We had these very high set of ideals that we wanted to stick to. And, you know, my partner and me are going back and forth. And I said, I think we got it. Let's bring them in and let's treat them. It was a really simple thing, actually, when you really boil it down. I said, let's just treat them the way we would want to be treated. So when you came in, we covered everything. It's not like we missed anything. We made sure we covered it all. And remember we took you out to the Breakers for dinner, and it was just a great, great weekend. And I remember people saying to us afterwards, I cannot believe that this was the first time you gave the course, because it felt like you guys had been doing this for, you know, 5 years or something. And that spoke to me. What that really meant was we were just showing you what we did in our practice, and we were able to package it together in a way where it came across as authentic, genuine, what we do. And it was a really fulfilling moment in my career, because I had been lecturing on the road for 23 years. And I always had the dream of having people come to me and teach them what I wanted to share with them what I would want to learn myself. And having you there was great. And I know we connected, and it was a lot of fun. And it's been a great ride. It's really been very rewarding for me and for Chris to share our information with everybody.
Well, and I think what's amazing about that is so many times, and we talked about this a little bit in a previous podcast, with the fact that we live on these islands, and we as dentists are so isolated from each other. And what I really came away from your course was this concept of true camaraderie. And, you know, you always hear those adages of, you know, rising tide raises all ships and all of that. But this was the first time that, you know, we're sitting in a room of, you know, and I felt very under, a little imposter syndrome from the standpoint of like, okay, I'm sitting here and, you know, you and Chris have accomplished so much. You've been these international speakers for years, and I'm sitting around this room and everybody's kind of introducing themselves, and they've got all these, you know, they've been doing X, Y, and Z for so many years. And I'm like, I'm just this guy from North Dakota and I do general dentistry. I'm like, why the hell am I here? And what was amazing about that, though, was that event. I mean, that kickstarted, that was one of the pivotal moments in my career from the standpoint of connecting with the right people and developing true mentorships and partnerships with regards to not only clinicians, but other. I mean, I met your guys's, you know, social media and website developer who I joined with and started using him. And that took us on a trajectory I didn't realize. Connecting with you and Chris, you know, opened up these doors from just like having connections. And then, you know, we meet up again and at 3D Next with Sprint Raise event. And it's like all of a sudden this big, huge world of dentistry is really, really small. And for me, that opened up my eyes from the standpoint of like, man, there's so much potential to impact other clinicians. And that's what really drove like the basis of a lot of this podcast with regards to like, I want everybody to win. Like there is so much that we could be doing together if we just get out of our heads and get out of our islands and quit living on social media and comparing ourselves to X, Y, and Z. We just need to get out there and just start doing these things. And I think what you guys created over at the protocol was just a perfect example of like what happens when, like you said, people are genuine and the education is like, no BS, this is what we do, this is how we do it, and this is what works for us. And, you know, what was amazing for me is I was able to adapt for certain aspects within my practice and then like take core concepts and implement them. And like, it just totally changed my practice. And you know me, I love photography. So like the core concepts of your guys' photography and everything just kind of resonated well for me. So I got to give it to you guys. You guys are hitting out of the park. But I think one of the things that people sometimes from an outsider's influence, or when we start looking at you and your practice, Ritter Ramsey, I mean, you guys are a very cosmetic, high-end, you've developed this culture within your practice, within your team and your patients, that I think is important, because I think some clinicians, especially new grads, come out of thinking like, oh, that's not me. That's not me. Well, at one point in your life, you were that new grad. And so I want you to just, like, before we dive into some of the clinical stuff, share a little bit about, like, how you went from your, I'm coming out of dental school, I don't know anything, to how you developed Ritter and Ramsey and how it's become what it's become. And you got to do that within a couple of minutes, because otherwise we'll be here all night.
I know. Okay, so without being verbose, let me see how I can package that together for you, Tim. I graduate dental school. I'll go real quick here. I graduate dental school. And the truth is, about 6 months after I graduated, I came home one day, quit my job. I had two jobs. Came home to my wife and I said, I think I'm going to quit dentistry. I don't think this is what I thought dentistry was going to be. And she said, take time off. Find yourself. My wife, me and my wife graduated dental school together. She said, find what you want to do. And I wound up in another job. And this dentist was very well versed in restorative dentistry. I mean, really understood materials, how to use things properly. It was just well thought out. Said, you need to point me in the right direction. She said, you got to start taking really good CE, not junky CE. You need to take really good CE. So right off the bat, I started taking really good CE courses. And then from there, I said, wow, all of a sudden this whole world opened up for me. I saw dentistry, not dental school and not your average general practice, I saw the potential to doing higher-end cosmetic cases, and this was right at the birth of what Iva Clark called the aesthetic revolution. And this is when they came into the market with the original Empress product, which made average ceramists great, made average dentists great. It just made you look great. And so I was one of those people, and I hopped on board. I got hooked up with one of the best ceramists by serendipity in the country to work with, Lee Culp, who made me a much better dentist when I probably should have been working with him for a good 5 years, but I was working with him, and all of a sudden, all these doors start opening for me. I start teaching out of Pack Live, and I start taking these other courses from, you know, I started at the Dawson Academy, then I finished all Spears courses along the way, me and my business partner. We went to COIS together, and we take all this information together. We lump it together and say, okay, what are the things that are really applicable to us? And what are the things that are going to bog us down? We said, let's get rid of the things that are going to bog us down. Let's utilize the information the way it's supposed to be utilized. And let's take it and create a system that is reproducible, that is going to last a long time for these patients. Hence the genesis of what the protocol is. But we were doing it in our practice for the last, I'm going to say 15 to 20 years, based off of very solid principles. Now, I will tell you this last thing. What me and Chris have noticed through the years, and we struggle with this even to this day, is people who go through these wonderful CE programs, and they're out there, right? The Dawsons, the Spears, Lee Pankeys, the Coises, they're all great. And what we're noticing is you go through these incredible curriculums that some of them are, you know, $40,000, $50,000, incredible knowledge. And then you don't go back to your practice and actually utilize what you've been taught. You don't follow the principles laid down by Frank or Pete back then, and John. And I said to Chris, there's a disconnect here. There's something going on I'm not quite seeing. How come we were able to take this and go back, recognize what's going on in these patients' mouths, get them to move forward with the necessary dentistry, and so many others struggle with this. What's that inflection point? What is holding them back from implementing it? Most of the time, it is themselves. It is themselves not thinking that they can do this. Sometimes it's not the right team members. And sometimes it's not the right patients. All of that is okay. As long as you understand, you can change all of that. All of that is changeable. You can change your own mindset. You can change your team members. And you can acquire or educate your patients. It's all on you. If you're waiting for somebody to do something for you, you're going to keep waiting. It's not going to happen. You got to make it happen yourself. I say this to my daughter who's in college. You want something, you got to make it happen yourself. Because nobody's going to do something for you. That's not the world we live in, at least anymore. So that's what I think the mindset has to be. You need to change yourself. Block out everybody else in your town. Look, Tim, truth is, when I came to town, I was not greeted with open arms. I've got story upon story about story. This was not a welcoming environment where I practiced. And yet, it didn't stop me. They tried to stop me, and they couldn't stop me. I didn't listen to these other dentists in my town. I didn't care. I didn't care what they thought. I just said, I'm doing this. Whatever it takes to get to there, I'm going to make it happen. And that's what I did. And that's what I did.
And
I think you can do it too. Anybody can do it.
And I think that's so important for new clinicians to understand because, you know, coming out of school, there's so much pressure to making the decisions of like, what's the next step? Like, where am I going to go? And I think one of the things we need to emphasize to everybody is that you got to keep moving. And dentistry is such an opportunity to continue to learn, and it opens up more doors. And that's one of the things that I found is that the world we live in is a very small world. You have to be active in it. You have to take the role of taking the CE, whatever that CE is, and then moving forward with it. Because like you said, we can change how we move. I mean, I went from working in a DSO to doing a startup practice and then being where we are now. I mean, it's if you just settle, you're missing out on so many opportunities. But I think all of us need to realize that when we look at our core and we start really thinking about, you know, when things aren't right and you know when you believe in yourself. And what I love about what you said about when you guys went and when you went into your practice is that there was pushbacks. It wasn't this easy, hey, welcome us and welcome open arms and I've got all these patients. You have to do the work. And part of it is working through the struggles and learning from those. And especially in restorative dentistry, what I've seen so many times that hold people back are some of the failures they have. You know, we have, you know, when we get out of school, we're just doing simple one-tooth dentistry. You know, we're mastering the simple fillings, the basic class one, class two, class three, class four, that basic crown and bridge. And then all of a sudden we start moving into our quadrant dentistry. And quadrant dentistry opens up this different world of productivity and profitability and team integration and all of these things. But what it also does is as you start expanding beyond single tooth dentistry, you start doing real dentistry, of which you have to have those core foundation from your education that you were talking about, that you understand occlusion, you understand facial aesthetics, you understand how everything is cohesive, form follows function. And what happens, though, is we have one or two failures, and so many times I see clinicians not want to try it. I mean, how many times have you seen people like, oh, I can't take on this case, I got to open their VDO? I mean, it's a worn dentition where the guy's worn down 4 millimeters of teeth, and you're worried about opening him back up to where he was physiologically? Like, It frustrates me because I'm like, we're missing the point of if we just open our eyes to what's possible and do our due diligence, it opens up this world in restorative dentistry that can be so insanely rewarding, so profitable, so engaging for our team members. So, you know, when you started along your CE journey, one of the things that I want you to just talk about, because you talked about, you know, Coise, Pinky, Spirit, and you have done them all. Like you've done so many of the continuums. And I think that's important for listeners to understand is that you are where you are because you've done the work. But I think one of the things new users get a little reserved about is like, oh my gosh, how do I just, like, I don't do that kind of dentistry. Why am I going to pay to take a COIS program or a 3D dentist program or a spear program? Like, what do you say to those clinicians when they're like, I don't do that, so why would I need that?
Well, I didn't do it either. I mean, how are you ever going to do that dentistry unless you take the leap of faith and go to learn what it is? What it really gives you when you take any one of these curriculums is it gives you a broad perspective. It takes you out of the box, as you say, these little places that we live and work. It opens your eyes to what's out there. Now, if you do that and come back to your practice and apply what you see, it's going to change fundamentally the way that you talk about dentistry, present dentistry, produce dentistry, maintain dentistry. I started, just like you said, well, you're very impactful what you said. I started off as a single tooth dentist, and I got mastered that, right? You do really good with composites. You do really good with a single crown, an odd leg here or there. All of a sudden, you go to a quadrant. But the quadrant, the biggest change is when you go from single to quadrant, because now what you got to really understand when you break it down is you're not looking at one tooth anymore. You're looking at multiple teeth. So to make that change to go from quadrant to arch is an easier adjustment than it is to go from single to four teeth in a quadrant, right? It's a huge change to go from one to four. But when you're starting to look at four teeth and you look at somebody and you look at their upper left side and you see it's worn, you're like, well, that's weird on that side. Then you, all of a sudden, what do? You look at the other side. You're like, oh, wait a minute. The other side doesn't look much better. And the linguals of the upper front teeth are much better. I don't think this is a quadrant case. This is an arch case. Let me also say something else. I want to jump off of something you said. That on these wear cases where they're already destroyed 4 millimeters, right? Let me tell you my perspective on this through the years. Some people will agree with me, some won't, and that's okay. What I see people do is when they've worn their teeth down, they've collapsed their vertical. What they've been taught either in dental school or other places is let's put them in a splint and see how well they do with the splint. The damage has already been done. What are you splinting them for? They've already destroyed their dentition. That's not going to prove anything. Now, I took these courses from Pete Dawson almost 30 years ago. And unfortunately, the man who's no longer with us was wrong. Said you couldn't open the vertical dimension of occlusion. We know that to be not the case. We do it all the time. The body is a wonderful mechanism. We pay a price for adaptation. You can increase muscle length because if you couldn't, how could bodybuilders make their muscles bigger? We know this for a fact now. So when I see cases that they want to mount and do a trial equilibration when they're already destroyed their dentition and then put them in an Eichardt split, it makes absolutely no sense to me. And this is what happens when people come to our course. We show them, as you know, all right, the damage is done. Now let's take a global picture here. What's going on? Lost 4 millimeters off the incisal edges. The teeth in the back are worn down. What are we going to do? What are you going to do for them? You can't put them in composite. They're going to be spitting composite. You have to open the vertical. Is it one arch or two arch? Sometimes we can get by with one arch. Sometimes both arches destroyed. What are you going to do? You're going to open up the vertical and you're going to restore an entire arch. And instead of the front teeth being 7 millimeters, we're going to get back to 11. And when they smile, they're going to show teeth from side to side. Once you can make that jump, recognize what's going on in the patient's mouth, communicate it properly to the patient and have them buy in, your life practice trajectory is going to completely change. It is going to transform you, your practice. It is going to embolden you. It's going to make your patients happier. It's going to make your team happier. And ultimately, you're going to be happier because you're going to get to do the dentistry that you want to do. And it's so much more exhilarating. It's more satisfying. Obviously, it can be more profitable. You have to understand, though, you are also taking on a whole bunch of other issues when you make that jump, as you know, Tim. When you make that jump and you take on these people's responsibilities, you're kind of married to them. You better make sure when you're doing this that you know what you're doing, that you've got a plan in place, that you execute it properly, that you don't get bullied by the patient to speed up the process, that you work with good laboratories using sound principles. Because what you want to be able to do is every 6 months or 4 months or 3 months, go into the hygiene room, see that patient that you rebuild with those restorations that look as good as the day you put them in.
Then that's what it's all about. And I think, so, you know, Ravi, you made a couple of really important concepts or points that I think are really important for listeners to understand, is that the value of like rebuilding to somebody to what they had. So those core foundations of understanding the physiologic, biomimetics, the physics behind the bite, and that all comes with the education, which is why it's so important to see the bigger picture. But you talked about how, like, once you start seeing the bigger picture, you guys, you can't unsee this stuff. Like, you can't look at a patient. You will never look at a patient with any wear patterns and not start looking at the bigger picture. And really what I found in my own practice and talking to a lot of other users, that what happens is the communication with the patient becomes a little bit easier because you start talking about the bigger picture. It's no longer about a single tooth crack or a chipped composite or a failed restoration. You start really looking at the bigger picture. And ironically, it's easier for patients to understand the bigger picture than the single tooth dentistry, which gets really confusing. And communication becomes critical. And one of the things, Rob, I think you have done so well. I mean, I even teach courses where I use your principles. What for me, photography becomes such a critical component for not only education, but planning and communication with my team and my lab. Talk to us a little about how you use photography as you start taking on some of these cases.
Okay, so there's two parts of that. It's very good. Number one is definitely photography. So you've got to have a good DSLR camera still. You know, Tim, I'll tell you that they came by to show me the new Lumina scanner that actually I saw about a year and a half ago. And the salesperson says to me, oh, this will get rid of the need for your DSLR camera. And I'm thinking, no, it won't. No, it won't. Now, of course, I'm a little different, right? I lecture, I publish, you know, that sort of thing. So I'll always need high-end pictures. The ability to take pictures, to communicate with your laboratories, to communicate with your patients, to communicate with your team members is always going to be critical. So having a good camera that works it's everything. It's some of the best money you'll ever spend. Now, I don't get into the whole debate whether Canon, Nikon. People like to get together and argue over points that are just wasting time. And I just don't have that much time left in dentistry to waste it arguing what's a better camera, a Canon or a Nikon. The other thing I truly believe that every dentist needs is an intraoral scanner. I don't think you can go in and do a really high-end, well-presented, thoughtful treatment discussion with your patient or case planning without a chairside scanner. Now, that's a whole nother conversation about all the scanners that are out there. But I'll tell you, every time I walk into my operatory to do a case, you know, some sort of a consult, my assistant has already gone in the room, asked some questions, and taken an intraoral scan, even before I take my camera out. And it's part of the game. I sit down, eye to eye, knee to knee, heart to heart. You've heard this already at the protocol. I ask the patient, tell me about yourself, why you're here, how can I help you? And then the first thing I do is I turn around to the scanner and I start playing with the screen almost like Tom Cruise in Minority Report, right? And I turn around to the patient and I said, oh, you play the game. I know you've already seen this before at your last office. What do you think the patient says?
Oh, wait, I never saw this.
I've never seen this before. And then you go, what? What? You're kidding, right? And then my qualifying statement, I don't know how you're able to practice dentistry today at the highest level without one of these. Like, well, my last dentist didn't have one. So I've been using these for 15 years. Where's your dentist practicing? I mean, how is that even possible? That right there, if you do nothing else, the patient is saying to themselves, I'm in a different place. I'm in a place where these people understand my problem. I can see it on the screen. And then what I do is I jump in there, take a few pictures, put it up on that 50-inch TV, scroll through the photos and say, what are you looking for? Let's take a look at what you've got. And high-end photography is great for patient communication. It's great for medical legal problems. You want to make sure that you've got great photos in somebody. Documentation, laboratory communication, it's all there for you. You definitely need a good camera. Now, you know, I've got more cameras than I need. I've got more chairside scanners than I need. But my thing has always been to technology fails. And even on your best days, something is not going to work. And I believe, like NASA, that you need redundancy. You know, NASA, when the first engine kicks off, the second engine kicks in. And for me, having the ability to have another camera and another scanner to go to without messing anything up is really important for the patient to see as well. I just think all of those things build on each other to eventually you come across as unconsciously competent to the patient. And the patient sees you presenting this information with a wealth of knowledge and the power of your conviction. Now, let me wrap it up by saying this too. You do your case presentation for the patient. You listen to what they want. If it's doable, remember it's rule of threes, if you can give it to them in three. You do your presentation, you quote them the fee, and then you sit there and do the hardest thing that a dentist can do, which is what?
You shut up.
Shut up.
You don't say anything. Get out of the way.
Because, Tim, what's the problem here? He who talks first
loses every time. Like what are the things that I loved about your course that you guys did? You emphasized this a little bit when you were like knee-to-knee, heart-to-heart, is that there's so much psychology and emotion that goes into emotional-based dentistry. Like, value-based dentistry is different than, hey, you have a cracked filling. These patients, you know, need to see things differently. And what I took away, like, I love... If you guys aren't following Rob on Instagram, you got to follow his stuff, because like every time I see you post your intraoral scans, like it immediately, A, I'm going like, damn, those are good preps. B, I'm like, how powerful is this for your lab? How powerful is it for the patient? But one of the things that, you know, we started doing in our practice is that we take for granted for how we do dentistry, and we take for granted of how intimidating and how many other issues have maybe gone on for these patients before they ever get in our chair. Like, we just jump in and we're like, hey, let me look in your mouth, which is like looking at somebody's oral cavity is like a super intimate thing. And it's like the first time we meet somebody, we're like, hey, open up. Let me tell you what's wrong with you. It's like the worst first date ever. And one of the things we really emphasize to our team is working from an outside in perspective, meaning like the outside is that first meet and greet. It's that tour of the office. It's that sit knee to knee, eye to eye, heart to heart, and really get to know the patient. And then what we end up utilizing is then, hey, I'm going to use some photography, which has a bigger bubble. So I'm not in your personal space yet. And then as we start doing that, we can discuss, we can show some photos. And then we jump into exactly what you guys are doing, is that intraoral scan. And one of the things that we really focus on is we've termed it like our dental wellness scan, where this is part of our yearly scanning that we do for patients. That way we can have a sit-down discussion of showing them what's going on. Because yeah, it interacts in a way that they've never had before. It allows them to comprehend it. Like, patients don't understand x-rays. Like, I'm sorry, you guys. Like, you can show them a periapical radiolucency and they still don't know what the hell you're looking at. So... But an intraoral scan is in color. It's in 3D. They understand how to manipulate an iPad. They understand this. And by sitting down, talking with that, and going over their scan, and then you jump into the radiology of why you need the x-rays, and then you jump into the clinical exam, all of a sudden you're like making these baby steps into their mouth, and all of a sudden it's no longer this like, hey, nice to meet you, I'm jumping straight in. And all of a sudden these barriers get reduced. But also it gives you time. Like, when patients can see their mouth, like on any scan, immediately they're always like, that's what my teeth look like. Like, I don't like how crooked they are. I don't like the color they are. Like, all of a sudden you open this door to allow them and give you permission to start looking at bigger picture dentistry, the emotional based dentistry, the aligner cases, the whitening cases, the full mouth rehabilitation cases. Like, all of these things only are possible when you make an emotional connection with patients. And I think that's why photography and intraoral scanning are such a critical component. And why, if you were not implementing, like, oh my gosh, like, most of us are doing intraoral scanning with maybe like your crown and bridge, but how many of us are doing 12-month scans in hygiene with every hygiene? Like, how many of your hygienists can scan predictably easily? Like, all your ortho cases should be basically done by hygiene, the photography and the scanning. And how many of your team members feel confident taking a full mouth photo series? And not only taking the photo series, but really doing a good job with photo series. And that's a whole different conversation. But it drives home the concept of, like, as we start moving into bigger picture dentistry of, like, whole mouth dentistry. And then I love what you said, Rob, about the biggest jump is from single tooth to quadrant. Quadrant to full arch just makes sense. And so that's one of those things that I think we really need to fundamentally dive into, is that moving to that jump brings in these different things. And so when you guys are doing, one of the things I was most impressed with your course was, like, your team was fantastic. Like, your guys' team members are top notch. And I think it's important for people to understand that that does not happen by accident. So as you guys have created more of this culture of the bigger picture dentistry of full smile and the patient as a whole, how has that impacted not only your team, but the culture within your team, the expectations, and what do your team members actually do?
Well, they do everything, but as you know, and they're there at the course, they're longtime team members, but I praise them today. I mean, they did a great job today. The beginning of the year for us from January through the end of May is just insanity in our practice. It is everybody that's down from the Northeast, they want their dentistry done. And so we're literally jumping through hoops to make things happen. These are experienced, well-trained individuals. I don't want you to think that, number one, it happened overnight. Number two, that the training is complete. The journey continues. We're making changes every single day. We're trying to remove friction points. So you have, not pre-TSA, do you have clear? You know what clear is?
Yeah, I do. I'm in North Dakota, we don't have clear, so okay. I am just TS pre-check.
Okay, so in other parts of the country, they have clear. And clear, as you walk up, you give an eyeball scan, you walk right through. And their slogan is, we want to make this a frictionless experience for you. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make this frictionless. The team is very well versed in what we do, what we're willing to put up with, and what we're not willing to put up with. And here's another thing that makes dentists uncomfortable. You have to understand that not every patient is ideal for my practice. There are some patients that want services that I do not provide. There are some patients that want to come in and not do comprehensive dentistry. Now, if I can get them there slowly, I'll do that. But when they want to come in and the patient hasn't been into an office in 7 years and they just want their tooth extracted, it's not my ideal patient. That's not what we're looking for in our practice. We want the patients that come in that are doing search, that are looking for a more comprehensive, more complete style of office. That's what we're looking for. All of that.
I'm going to pause you there. Yeah. So you talked about frictionless. Mm-hmm. With regards to how patients find you, give me an example of how you're making it less friction for them to find the services you are providing.
Well, obviously you have to have a tremendously well-appointed, I would say, a website that is, make it simple, that loads quickly, that has all the detailed information on the inner pages, something that's easily found by the Google spiders. That's number one, right? Well built out. Number two, you have to have a good social media following and create that community that we're talking about, because that community then builds off the culture that you have in your practice. So our patients typically find us, and then, of course, having great reviews, whether that be in Google or Yelp, whatever is your area. All those three things build on each other, right? It's you don't want to build out a house of cards. You want, you're in Florida, it's concrete with rebar and cinder block. And so all of those things build on each other. The typical patient that comes in to see us for major work has said, I've heard about you. I've gone to your website. I've seen your cases. I follow you on social media and I read your reviews. They've done their homework before they ever call the office. Now, what Chris will tell you is when they eventually call your office to come in for a consult, they've got to be 80 to 90% of the way there. For them to do all that work and then take time out of their schedule to come in to meet with you, they already know what they want. They're in a way pre-screened. They're pre-qualified already. The only one that's going to screw it up is you. So we show the tricks and the different things that we do. We share that so that you don't screw it up because the patients want it. When we're talking about restorative dentistry, I think it branches off into two different categories. Strict cosmetics, where people have nice teeth and they want them to look like Hollywood with porcelain veneers, that really is a great option for those people. And then the people who are the train wrecks, the people who have destruction, their functional issues that you're going to have to completely rebuild, and you get the aesthetics at the end of it, but functionally you got to restore these people, right? So those are the two types of patients that come in. And so we quickly realize when they come in, if it's an adult that's never had pretty teeth, the teeth are not greatly aligned, they're discolored, chipped, worn. Is that a veneer case? Great. Simple. Is it the patient that's, what we talked about at the beginning of the pod, collapsed their vertical, broken a couple of teeth? That's a whole different ballgame right there. That's where the learning and all of these centers will teach you what to look for, because that person is not a one or two tooth problem. They're not a porcelain veneer case. And so we're very clear. I think we said it to you. We say it every time. Our course is not a porcelain veneer course, right? That's not what the protocol is. There are plenty of really good porcelain veneer courses. It's not what we are. So when we look at these patients, when they come in after they find us, very quickly, we're able to discern what type of patient they are and zero in on what they need to be restored. And when the patient hears that from us, they, what we call deflate, they go, oh, great. I found the dentist who knows what my problem is and how to fix it. I'm going to tell you one quick story. Woman comes in to see me. She's missing teeth on the upper left side. And she says, my two front teeth keep breaking on me. They put crowns in and they keep coming off. Just that description alone, you know what's going on here, Tim, right? Well, you know what's going on. She's collapsed her bite, right? And what is the typical dentist trying to do? They're trying to rebuild her two front teeth. Meanwhile, there's no room. She's overclosed. That's why she's destroyed the upper left quadrant. So what do we do for her? Tell her. I don't want to use her name. Listen, there's only one way to fix this for you, unfortunately. You're one of those people. I've got to open your bite back up. We go through all the ways that we show these people how to do that. And once they get that, once that connection is made, for the way that you explain it to the way they accept it, it clicks in them and they're like, yes, when can we get started? So this patient prepped her, put her into a PMMA, opened the vertical. Her teeth look the best they've been since she was probably 16 years old. And that's just the first temporary provisional PMMA. Now she's going to see the periodontist who's going to remove that, do all the work that he needs to do underneath the PMMA, puts the PMMA in. It's almost like she doesn't even know anything's been done. And she's walking around with this beautiful smile that she hasn't had for years. How do you get there? It's education. It's doing it over and over and over again to where you're so comfortable presenting it and providing it that the patient, when they come to see you, says automatically, these are the people I've been looking for a very long time. That's where you want to get to.
And I think you
do it.
You nailed it with regards to so many times we dentist everything and we make it overcomplicated from the patient standpoint. And I want to backtrack just a second here, because I think it's so important for people to understand, is that when you were talking about how people find you with regards to how you create a culture around restorative dentistry, moving to more of the full mouth style dentistry, is that you talked about the website, social media, and then basically your reviews. And what I think is important for people to understand is so many times we focus on one thing. I'm going to put my marketing dollars into this, and I'm going to do it into this, or I'm just going to ask for reviews. I think it's important to understand is that people go through different phases of decision-making, just like when we buy a car. Like we're doing our research, and that's where your website becomes your portal. And social media is important because it drives the content and attraction and all that. The website allows them to do their research on their time. And then the Google reviews allow them to have the validation that, yes, other people saw the same thing I did. And then when they go to see you, just like you said, they gave me a solution to my problem, of which they clearly understood and articulated because of the reps, the experience, the CE, and all that. And yes, that takes time, and new clinicians, that is a skill set you will develop over time. But I think it's important to understand you only get there through CE. You only get there through doing the reps, by learning through the failures, learning from other clinicians, finding mentors, doing these things. That's what's going to allow you to go from that single tooth dentistry to the emotional rewarding based dentistry to create a culture. Because, you know, Rob, you talked about a topic that I don't even want to go into, because I'm like, that's a whole podcast in itself, and that's saying no. Because saying no to patients is probably the greatest skill set. Like, you can teach a monkey to drill a tooth and cut a veneer or a crown prep, but oh my gosh, learning to read people and seeing those cases that are not a good fit for you, unfortunately, most of us learn the hard way. But it's one of those skill sets that the more you do, the better you get with it, because I'm not Walmart. I don't need to treat every patient. And more importantly, like, we have these unbelievable skill sets, but ultimately it's about understanding what you can do for people and achieving the expectation and truly exceeding the expectation. Nobody really cares if you meet the expectation, but exceeding the expectation of what you can provide those people. So, like, Rob, like, this is why I wanted to have you on here, because, like, what I love about you is we live in this world of everybody wanting to do, like, that concept of the super GP, and I'm doing this, and that, like, what you have done, both you and Chris have done so well, is you've shown that you can create a business, a practice, and a lifestyle, and attract a patient population and a culture of patients that value what you do based on truly doing what you enjoy, which is great, amazing, cosmetic, restorative dentistry. And I think that's important for people to understand, is that it doesn't matter what you love. If you love endo, do endo. If you love surgery, do surgery. If you love ortho, do ortho. But don't feel like you have to do everything, but do your due diligence, get educated, go out, learn those things. You know, I'm going to plug 3D because I have to. Like, that's one of the reasons that I fell under the 3D family, was that we've got everything from restorative dentistry to digital dentistry, smile design, to ortho, to implants. And that's one of those things where I'm like, you can kind of find what fits you as a clinician. I also got to plug Rob's course, because Rob's course was pivotal for me. The protocol, if you're not familiar with the protocol, Rob, how do they find out more about the protocol?
It's simple. Just go to theprotocollive.com, and the information is there. And then we also have an Instagram page. But really, just go to the website. You can sign up there. There's a lot of information there. And if you have any additional questions, you can DM me on Instagram. It's not a problem. We have people ask all the questions all the time. Sometimes, you know, people get a little excited. They're like, well, I want to do this, but I don't really know a lot about it. And they just want questions answered. So we'll answer that for them as best as possibly can. Sometimes, you know, Chris will get on as well and spend some time answering some questions as well. We have no problem doing that. Because I want you as a dentist to come, have a great experience, take everything in, let us treat you the way that we would want to be treated ourselves. And for us, the greatest success, Tim, is when you go back to your practice, you implement those strategies. We just had a protocol 2 weeks ago. I get a text from a guy who took the course from New Mexico, just sold 2 arches this first week back. 2 arches based off of taking a weekend course. And by the way, this is not a lone wolf sort of thing. This happens all the time. Because what we're doing is we're giving you the keys to the kingdom, right? I'm giving you the cookbook. Short of you flying me out to your practice, letting me talk to your patients and me prep the case, I'm giving you everything else to go back to your practice. I'm giving you the manual. I'm giving you the $1,700 worth of product that we use, that we show you how to use. We're showing you in the breakout sessions how to do the chairside consults. You want to use our ceramist who's digitally inclined. I just don't know what else we can do for you to make this happen. People come 6 months out of school. People come 30 years out of school, and they want to be refreshed. And it works great. I just also want to say, Tim, T-Bone and Sully and you're doing a great job with 3D Dentists. I always enjoy hanging out with those guys when I see them. As you know, they're a lot of fun. They're very talented, and they do a wonderful job in their presentations. I know their courses are great. I know it's a totally different thing than what we're doing, but there's so much to go around. There's so much opportunity for everybody. And you're right. Remember, we were talking earlier about that post. I love to see my friends do well, because when my friends are doing well, they're happy. And I want people to be happy. I want you to enjoy this profession. Enjoy what you're doing. As you know, this can be a very difficult profession. We have everything built into this profession. You have to be a clinician. You have to be a manager. You have to be an artist. You have to be an accountant. The HR department. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And it's very easy to lose yourself. Very easy. And you hear some really sad stories. So make this what you want it to be. If you're not where you want it to be, make it happen. Whatever it takes to get there, because no one else is going to do it for you, like I told you at the beginning. And what you guys are providing also is the opportunity for these people to make some serious changes to their patients' lives and to themselves. And so for that, I'm very grateful. Thank you very much for the opportunity to spend some time with your people. And it's always great to see you again. I look forward to seeing you in a couple of months as well, Tim.
Heck yeah, Rob. You are, like I said, I'm so excited to have you on here tonight. I think you really represent everything what this podcast really kind of represents. And I think you and I are so similar in the fact that we just want people to win. We want people to do well, succeed. And it's such a small community, guys. If you have questions on anything, if you want to know more about the protocol, ask me. Like, I took the course. Like, I couldn't speak more highly of everything those guys are doing over there. And so with that, Rob, thank you so much for joining us. You guys, if you want to hear more, like I said, this is the third installment of the 3D Dentist Podcast Network. If you're not already following, listening to T-Bone's podcast, Dentistry Made Simple, and Sully's podcast, The Millennial Dentist, please do check them out. We appreciate your support. Join me next week as we talk with Dr. Aaron Elliott about, as you can guess it, all things airway. And we'll kind of go from there. But Rob, have a great day. Everybody else, we will catch you next week. Have a great time. This was the Dentistry Made Simple podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you get notified when all the new content is released. And don't forget to rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends and colleagues. For more information about all things happening within the 3D Dentist family, follow us at www.3d-dentist.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you are leaving with new insights to help transform and level up your practice. Until next time, keep smiling.